The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
Why do we think it's our job to tell people how to live out their faith?
Yeah.
You know, if we could just, people, if they want our opinions, let them ask us.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if we could just love people, and then when they ask for our opinion, if we could deliver it with love and gentleness and a tender spirit, like the Bible says to do, what a world we live in.
Kathy Lee Gifford shares captivating conversations about her faith in Jesus. Next on Life Today.
Hi, welcome to Life Today. I'm Sheila Walsh. I'm so glad that you stopped by, and I have a feeling you will be too. Our dear friend Kathy Lee Gifford has a fantastic new book out. It's called The Jesus I Know, and some amazing conversations. So welcome, Kathy. Thank you for being with us.
Always love to be with you, Sheila. Thank you for showcasing this book. It's unlike any other book I've ever written. It's not, I let other people tell their stories.
Yeah.
And I write other people's stories usually, but I said, no, I'm going to sit down with these amazing people that I the Lord has blessed me with. Some of them are in my life for decades, like a Kris Jenner, and for like the last 20 years, like a Kristen Chenoweth.
Mm-hmm.
Others are very, a gentleman who's just here from Australia that I was privileged to lead to the Lord in a hotel lobby here just, you know, a couple of months ago.
Wow.
I wanted him to share his story. So it's a motley crew, as we've discussed in another show, a motley crew of individuals that that are at different points in their walk, their journeys, because God is such an individual, personalized, custom-made God, you know?
Yeah.
And we're all at different points in our journey.
Absolutely.
And our stories are not always tied up neatly with a bow.
Mm-mm.
Sometimes there's a dot, dot, dot. Sometimes there's a question mark.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes there are a couple of exclamation points. But there's no the end until the end.
Absolutely.
And so we write people off.
Yeah.
We write them off, don't we, Sheila, if they don't worship like we do.
Yeah.
If they speak in tongues and we think that's not of the Lord. If they called God by a different name. If they... whatever they do. And I'm not trying to dilute down the gospel or the word of God. I'm trying to dig deeper into what does the word of God actually say to us about these people that come into our life that we love.
Yeah.
And they're different than we are. They look different. They sound different.
Yeah.
But I have found that the greatest trips I've ever taken rabbinically to Israel are when I go with people that I say, Lord, let's not fill this bus with people I want to come.
Mm-hmm.
Let's fill this bus with people, people that you want to come because they need you.
Mm-hmm.
They need to know you. They need to come to the land of the rock, the road, and the rabbi and meet you in a personal way that they never dreamed was possible. So you'll hear stories of my friend Rocky, who was raised in a Hindu home, brilliant, brilliant woman, and her daughter had cancer. And just left her and her husband came, and he's a Sikh, and neither one of them would call followers of Jesus. But then you find out what happened to them while they were in the Holy Land studying him.
Wow.
And then learning about him and hearing the stories, and you hear how they changed and how they went home with a different view of the, and I didn't do anything except take them there, invite them there in the love of Jesus. Then there are Scientologists. One of my biggest, my most often collaborator in music, brilliant composer named David Pomerantz, Jewish, who had been a Scientologist for 40 years and married to a woman who used to be Catholic and became a Scientologist. They adopted a child and raised him, of course, in Scientology. How the Holy Spirit dealt with the three of them on our trip. Let's just put it this way. When I was shooting The Way, this new music movie that I have, and I wanted 12 young men to play the disciples, David and his son Nicholas end up, they're two of the disciples in the boat on the way to the other side. So, I mean, just stories like that. But then there's stories about people that, Jimmy Allen.
I love that story.
Jimmy Allen's story is unbelievable. Yeah. He is, you know, just an amazing. He's the rising star in country music. I met him on the Today Show a couple of years ago, and I said, "All right, that guy's going to be one of my closest friends for the rest of my life." Oh, and that's what he is. Wow. I just adore Jimmy. His story is very, very moving. And so just people like that. Again, it wasn't me saying, "Lord, I want to get my biggest friend stars and that, 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 that." And I said, "But no, Lord, who do you want to tell their story?"
Yeah.
And he gives me names and I pray over it. And then I seek him. Mm-hmm. And only one person that he gave for me to ask couldn't do it. Actually two, I'm thinking now. One was Regis's wife, Joy, because she had just been asked to do her own book. And of course she was going to save the story for that. The other was a new friend of mine named Alon. And he is Jewish by birth and faith, who had an encounter recently with Jesus.
Wow.
A few years ago, a literal visitation from him.
Wow.
And it's the way I end the book. And it's quite amazing because he didn't want to write his whole story. He's not ready yet to. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
That's the work of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Why do we think it's our job to tell people how to live out their faith? You know, if we could just, people, if they want our opinions, let them ask us.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if we could just love people, and then when they ask for our opinion, if we could deliver it with love and gentleness and a tender spirit, like the Bible says to do, what a world we live in.
Yeah.
Was it St. Francis of Assisi who said, "Preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words."
Yeah. One of the conversations you have in the book, in fact, I think it's the first one, I loved your conversation with Kristen Chenoweth. That's just beautiful. So you have been friends for years.
You've mentioned this.
Yes.
This cross that I wear.
Beautiful.
I can't even get it up closer. You've seen it before.
Yes.
I never take it off, and I never take it off. It is just she was wearing it one day, and I went, "Oh my gosh, that's the most beautiful cross I've ever seen, Kristen. Where can I get one of those?" She goes, "Oh, you can't." You know how she is. You can't. That's spooky little twinkle bell. And I said, "Oh," she said, "I designed it. It's mine, but I'll give it to you." She starts to take it off and give it to me on the set. I go, "No, I'm not going to take it. I'm not going to take it." But I love it. You're so dear. 2 days later, maybe two of them show up in the mail to me, one for me and one for my daughter.
Oh, wow.
And so people don't know that Christian is adopted. And raised by two amazing parents in Oklahoma, and this incredible gift God gave her. She realized that she's a different kind of missionary.
Yes.
She's like I am in the sense that God uses us in the entertainment world.
Yeah.
That's our mission field. And I was judged my whole life for that.
Wow.
Some of the worst, most painful and damaging comments to me in my life came from Christian people.
Yeah, I believe it.
Yeah, and I say Christian in quotes because real Christians don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't do that. They encourage and they pray for you. If they really care about you, they'll pray for you.
What was your most surprising conversation that you had? What was the one that perhaps, wow, I didn't anticipate this?
Cynthia Garrett, maybe.
I love her. She's a friend of mine.
Yes, Cynthia Garrett. I've only just met her. She's a lot of people have moved in my area in Tennessee from California to get away from a lot of things.
Yes.
Looking for the promised land, you know, which used to be California. Anyway, she's one of them. She and her husband, Roger, who also has his testimony in the book. He set out as a young man to completely dispel the Bible.
Yeah.
To debunk it completely. Yeah. So his story is great, but what, you know, Cynthia is this beautiful, tall, elegant African-American woman who's had success in the television world and in different things, hosting things and stuff. You'd look at her, she's very chic and she's very hip and she's very cool. And Lenny Kravitz is like her spiritual brother. They grew up together and she's like the coolest girl in the room.
Yeah.
She loves Jesus. And when she told me her story,
yeah,
I was blown away by it.
Yeah.
blown away. I think the one that surprised me the most.
Yeah, her story of being in prison and all the, I mean, but it just convinced me one more time, or just deepened my understanding of the powerful work of the Holy Spirit, that yes. He seeks us out and we're never alone. I love that. And I love the fact that God has given you a mission field that is different from, I mean, when I was growing up in a small Baptist church, it was like, if you're a guy, you could be a pastor. If you're a woman and you want to serve the Lord, you can be a missionary. And that was it. Not realizing.
Or a teacher.
Yeah, or a teacher.
Sunday school teacher.
Sunday school teacher. Or if you play the piano, you're really in big.
Well, you can do almost anything.
But understanding that we're on mission 24/7, no matter where we are, to me is just a calling. It's life-changing.
It gives your life purpose.
Yeah.
Which so many people don't feel.
Yes.
I don't have any gifts. I have no purpose. I can't do that. I can't. No, you have a mission field.
Yes.
Get on your knees and seek God, and He will show. He's looking. He needs workers in the field. You know?
Yeah.
And the harvest is ready, but the workers are few. And He's just waiting. You have a special call on your life that you're waiting on. And well, be proactive about it. Seek the Lord. Say, Lord, I know you want me to serve you.
Yeah.
I have a zeal in my heart to serve you. Show me where you want. You think God's going to say no to that prayer?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
No. And the friendship you have with people that in the natural, like Brian Welch of Korn. I loved your conversation with him. There was such a tenderness in it and such a tenderness in him toward the Lord.
Oh, people just laugh. You're friends with Brian Head Welch of Korn, one of the biggest hard metal bands in the world. Mm-hmm. How could you be his friend? I said, have you met him?
Yes.
How could I not be his friend? He loves Jesus.
Yes.
His testimony, I wasn't surprised by it because we've been friends for long enough that I knew his. And you can go on a documentary called Loud, Crazy Love. That it's about him and his struggles to get out of that world. Yeah. And that those addictions and those that darkness and his journey with his daughter is just a precious part of his. It was his daughter he wanted to get clean for.
Yeah.
He has this child in the middle of all this insanity of his life.
Yeah.
And the cleanliness of her and the purity of her. He just felt, well, he's tattooed every inch of his body, even his eyelash, everything on him is tattooed, dreadlocks down to his, I guess, past his bum. And a sweeter soul you will never meet, a more devoted heart for God you will never find. These are the people. Mm-hmm. These are God's children.
Yeah.
And we judge for all kinds of reasons. We all do it. We have biases.
Yeah.
That doesn't make us systemically racist in my book. It just means we had come from a different world.
Yeah.
And we have to find what we have in common with one another. Go into another person's world. Be mm-hmm. willing to. Jesus said, go to the other side.
Yeah.
He was going to their world.
Right.
When they got to the other side and Jesus got out of the boat because there was a guy bleeding and you know, cutting himself and running and demon possessed, his name is Legion. And that means, you know, so many demons. And, you know, when Jesus healed him of everything, the demoniac wanted to get in the boat and go back with Jesus. You can imagine why he would. And Jesus said, no, go back to your village, go back to your family and friends and tell them what your God has done for you this day. He was the first missionary, really.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, go out of the world, go back to your world or go out. But I love it that this guy's cleaned up. He's sitting there all dressed and clean. Can you imagine the shock when he went back to his village? Who knows how long he'd been in those caves and terrifying people in for a long time, probably. And they don't even recognize him until they finally do. And the scripture says that they believed. The villages were transformed by the word of his testimony.
One of the things that I love, too, is some of the stories you tell. Like, it shows that no matter which walk of life, that God has a plan and a mission. I love your story about Hubie Sim, the reluctant prophet. I remember...
The reluctant prophet, Hubie Sim.
Yeah.
Yes, I love Hubie.
I remember meeting him for the first time and thinking, He just looks like an accountant. I mean, he doesn't look
like... He is an accountant.
I know.
He's an accountant from New Jersey. But he has a secret life.
He does, indeed. But dramatic. I mean, I love that. Because often we think, well, certain people are in ministry. But no, it's like God wants to use every single one of us to shine his light and his love.
My friend Joanne Moody. Look up Joanne Moody. This is a woman who for almost 15 years had been so damaged in childbirth that there was irreparable nerve damage. She lived with, I think she was on 8 opioids daily. Whoa. For 14 and a half years and still could get no relief from her pain.
Wow.
She was miraculously healed and miraculously, like, gone. And wow. She said, Lord, I will travel wherever you send me and heal others in your name. And the ministry she has now is unbelievable. Joanne Moody. And I wanted to introduce Hubie and Joanne also for a reason, which is there's so much misunderstanding of the gifts of the Spirit in the Western world. You know, there's so much mystery surrounding it than there shouldn't be, because it, you know, once you understand the people, you meet the people that have these gifts and you see the way they use them for the kingdom of God, any bias you have about it is dispelled because you see what's done in the name of the Lord Jesus. Yeah. And you cannot say, this is not God.
Yeah.
This is redemption. This is healing. This is, and nobody's getting the credit for it, but Almighty God. You know, I mean, we have to test the spirits for sure. But, I think for way too long that we as Westerners have been way too terrified of the gifts of the Spirit.
Yes.
When actually, when you read about them, when Paul talks about them, we're all supposed to have gifts of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. They're supposed to be different.
Yeah.
Use like different parts of the body for one good work, but we're all supposed to use them. Mm-hmm. And people go, well, God doesn't do that anymore. Really? Jesus said greater things than this. You will do in my name when the Holy Spirit comes. But I have to go so you can do them. Mm-mm. Well, he didn't put a time frame on that.
No.
We do.
Yeah.
We're the ones that box God in, that relegate him to 3 dimensions, that stick him on a shelf and say, well, that's what God does. Mm-mm. Really? Now go to Mozambique and watch Heidi Baker raise people from the dead in the name of Jesus.
Wow.
Let's open our eyes and our ears and our hearts and our souls to the great works the Holy Spirit is doing in the lives of brothers and sisters all over the world. We don't see that much of it here in our country because we don't have the faith.
Yeah.
But then Jesus said, your faith has healed you.
Yeah.
I'm not saying everybody that doesn't get healed doesn't have the faith for it, but faith is a component of
it. Yeah.
A huge component. And anyway, I wanted people to get to know people like that in this book and not be afraid of them.
Yeah. Beautiful. When people finish this book, Kathy Lee, when they close this, what is your prayer for each person that reads this?
I talk about it a little bit in the book at the very end, that people will welcome people like that into their lives and into their hearts and into their worlds.
Yeah.
People that look different than you, people that go to a different church or no church at all, people that worship differently, people that sometimes call God by a different name, and we call that blasphemy. Get to know them and see what they say about that God. And then you'll have something to talk to them about in love and with tenderness and kindness.
Yeah.
People, in my experience, have never come to know Christ in a powerful, personal way because I've told them that they're going to go to hell.
No.
No. I tell them God loves them just as they are. And if they will come to him and seek him, he will be found by them.
Yeah.
He lives to be found by them.
Yeah.
And he wants to love you and transform your life into everything he ever created you to be.
Yeah.
We're supposed to love people into the kingdom of heaven, not condemn them.
Absolutely. So as you can probably see, you're going to want to get hold of this book for yourself. And I'm going to tell you how you can do that. But first of all, I would love you to help us bring some hope to some women at the moment who are praying that someone is listening to their prayer. And we can be the answer to that prayer. Watch this.
Some see suffering like this and say it proves God is not real. Or worse, that he exists, but he's indifferent to the suffering of the people he made. But the truth is, it's in these very situations that the hand of God is most present. And you can see him if you look with the right eyes. God is here, in the hands of a mother, doing all she can to sustain a sick child. He's here, in the hands of doctors and nurses, holding back the onslaught of death in their countries. And he's here in the hands of the missionaries who give all just to see one more life saved. But we can't do it alone. To touch those areas of greatest need requires help from people like you. Because in the end, the extent to which we can be the hands of God is in yours.
No child should ever get to that state. No child should be so weak that they can barely cry or struggle to take a breath when we have so much in our country. When you think about it, we have so much. Now we have this amazing opportunity to make a difference in the lives of people who are not asking for a lot. They're just asking for the ability to feed their child. This is our last week of Mission Feeding. So please, would you help us today? And for any gift at all, you can ask for Kathy Lee's book, The Jesus I Know. But the Jesus I know says to me, care for these children. Reach out. Let these mothers, you know, the thing that blows me away, I found such faith in these places where there's such pain and suffering. You would think that maybe women struggling watching a child die would lose faith in a good God. That is not my experience. The mothers that I have met have talked to me about the fact that they pray every night that God will send help. And that's where you and I come in. We get to join hands with these doctors and these workers on the ground who are amazing. And then we've earned the privilege to tell these mothers and these children about a God who heard every prayer and sent us. So last week, we have so much that we have promised to feed 350,000 children. Would you help us? Even for a gift of $30, do you know that you will feed three children for three whole months? $50 will feed five. $100 would feed 10 children for 3 months. And if you can give $1,000, that will feed 100 children. Who knows what God wants to do with these little lives when they're given an opportunity? So please, last week, call that number on your screen and give the very best gift you can. Let's bring hope in Jesus' name.
Across the continent of Africa, children are suffering, facing severe malnutrition and even death. With food reserves gone and many areas experiencing severe famine, we urgently need to replenish supplies to keep feeding the 350,000 children who are counting on us. Through Life's Mission Feeding Outreach, your gift of love can be an answer to prayer for a hurting and hungry child in their time of need. Call now with your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 to help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift of any amount, we'll send you The Chosen 40 Days with Jesus. From the creators of the widely popular television drama The Chosen, this devotional invites you to discover Jesus through the eyes of those who knew him best. With your gift of $100 or more, please request the Amazing Grace sheet music frame wall art. This timeless and well-beloved hymn can be displayed as a reminder of God's grace to you. Finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and care for 100 children, be sure to request our inspiring bronze sculpture, Let the Children Come. This beautiful bronze is a reminder to care for children around the world in both word and deed. This is the last week. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
I'm here and just what is a small part of a massive graveyard. I've never seen anything like this in my life. But this part that I'm standing in, these are all children. The thing that has touched as a team so deeply is the way that the parents have tried to honor their children in some way by leaving something on the grave, whether it's just little booties, a little toy that meant something to the child. I was just back there. They've just dug 4 more children's graves because they know they're coming. And that's why we're here, and that's why we need to do something now. We need to be able to go into these villages and feed these children and bring hope to these parents so that these 4 little holes back here stay empty. We need your help, and we need it now.
Thank you so much for responding. This is a privilege to serve other people in Jesus' name. And remember, for any gift at all, ask us and we will send you Kathy Lee's book. It's called The Jesus I Know. And I think we get to know Jesus a little better every time we talk to you, Kathy Lee. Thank you for being with us.
I love you, Sheila. Truly, you're one of my favorite people on this planet. Mm. You're my sister.
Yeah, I love you too. Bless you, my friend. And we'll see you all next time on Life Today. God bless you.
See my dreams all die from where you're standing on your own. It's so quiet here, and I feel so cold. This house no longer feels like home.
Regardless of your net worth, estate planning benefits you and your family before and after death and results in peace of mind. As a free service to our friends and partners, Life Planning Services, a ministry of Life Outreach International, can help with your estate planning needs and chart your financial future. Don't put off this important step to peace of mind through better planning. Contact Life Planning Services today. Sheila Walsh, James and Betty, and Dr. Don Colbert help you lose weight, fight disease, and live a healthy, vibrant life next week on Life Today. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.